that Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, and they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
Fallout. All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Things to worry about as it relates to the Pittsburgh Pirates. Some of them imagined, of course. A lot of them real. And you would think that Ke'Bryan Hayes would not be one of those. Well, I'm going to talk to you about why he just might be. Good morning to you. Good Friday morning. I'm Dejan Kovacevic of DK Pittsburgh Sports, and this, the newly reborn DK Sports Radio Podcasting Network. Hayes had one of the great months any newcomer to Major League Baseball has ever enjoyed. When he came up in September with the Pirates, he didn't wait a single game to start smacking the ball all over creation. He also made all the plays at third and then some, also ran the bases beautifully. He looked like the consummate young baseball player. And maybe he is that. This is not someone who came from nowhere. He's obviously the son of Charlie Hayes, for those of you who go way back to another Pirates third baseman from a good bit ago. He was a first-round pick in 2015, so he comes with pedigree as well. So none of this was like, wow, who's this kid? That works in his favor. The fact that he's only 23 years old, young for baseball, works in his favor. I am not here to come close to knocking anything about Hayes. However, the concern that I have as it relates to him are expectations. Not necessarily his, but yours and mine. See, here's the thing. I'm going to go over his 2020 stats with you again. They're unbelievable. In a month, he batted officially 85 times. Had a 376 average. 442 on base. 1124 OPS. That's like Bonds on juice. Okay? It's crazy. 32 hits in 85 at-bats. 5 homers. Just the one steal. I guess if you want to knock him for anything, it would be the fact that he only had the one steal. But those numbers overall, I mean, they were historic. There hadn't been a rookie who'd done something like that in 100 years in his first month. And the fact that it was a coronavirus-shortened season meant, of course, that it was his only month. And that it represented half of that season. I had a Rookie of the Year ballot this year in the National League. And I marked Hayes down as third, even though his stats were way better than the two guys that I put on a ballot ahead of him, because they played all the way through, and I felt there should still be some respect for that. Not that that was Hayes' fault. He tested positive, you'll recall, in the summer spring training 2.0, and that plus the fact that the Pirates needed to send him down for arbitration purposes and whatever in August, he didn't make it up until September. But once he arrived, my goodness. And the people who were still paying attention to the Pirates in September around Pittsburgh, and it wasn't a very long list. I mean, what the Pirates did in August was beyond atrocious, and I'm sure turned so many people off. So a lot of what Hayes achieved happened not just in front of no crowds, but really in front of no viewers. The Pirates' TV ratings and everything plummeted. But for the people who were paying attention, immediately there's all this grandiose talk. There's, you know, he reminds me of Kutch. He looks like Kutch. He's got that same swagger, that same confidence. Here's my problem. He's not Kutch. Kutch, when he came up from the minor leagues, came up with a really consistent stepladder. You knew what he was from level to level. There wasn't really a gap in there. Now, Hayes, his stepladder is a little bit different. He also was fairly consistent from 2015 through 2019 in the minor leagues. 5 years in the minors. Just a little long. But his batting averages over those 5 years were 308, 266, 278, 293, and then 261. A little bit of a regression in 2019. This after an amazing spring training, meaning with the big team. So there's some hesitancy there. Now, those aren't spectacular average numbers, only once over 300. On base, not all that different. 408 is great, I mean, but that's rookie ball. 323, 345, 375, which is nice. That was in Altoona in 2018. And then again with the regression of 334 in 2019. Home runs don't matter much in the minors. You'll hear that from baseball scouts, baseball analysts. Everybody tells you that doubles in the minors turn into homers in the majors. That was true for Andrew McCutchen. Didn't necessarily put a lot of balls over the fence. But once he got to the majors and you see consistently better pitching, pitching that's more in the zone, you're not reaching outside as much, the ball goes over the fence more. But for the record, Hayes had 25 total home runs in his 5 years in the minors, and that's a span of 1,731 at-bats. One more time, 25 homers in 1,731 at-bats. This past summer, he had five in a month. Five homers in 85 at-bats. That is a ratio that he's never even come close to. But let's say you subscribe to that theory that all the scouts have, that doubles turn into homers. There's some encouragement there. Because his last two seasons, his last two full seasons in the minors with Altoona, with Indianapolis, in each one of those, he had 31 doubles. That's a pretty nice doubles total. I should mention nine triples as well. I mean, you got to put the ball somewhere significant in order to get a triple. Those years also included 17 home runs. So his pops started coming, but not at the level we saw in August. So you can take this one of two ways. One is that he's due for a pretty wicked regression. And actually, he is, because he's not going to hit 376 in the majors unless he's Ted Williams reincarnated. So let's start with that. These are the same kind of discussions, or similar discussions, that I used to have as it related to Brian Reynolds. And Kevin Newman to a lesser extent last year, where you looked at their numbers and you said, look, if all they did was repeat these, they're going to end up in the Hall of Fame. And of course they didn't. I mean, in Reynolds' case, just fell off a cliff. And Newman's too, really. I don't see Hayes falling off a cliff, but he won't hit 376. The other way to look at this is that maybe there was a breakthrough. Now, people who do any kind of sports analysis really, really hate that term because they don't believe in them. They just see them as outliers. But when you're familiar with the fact that Hayes and Rick Eckstein worked intensely for months before last spring training on elevating his launch angle. And then when you look at the fact that the Pirates and the hitting staff and everybody had measured for a long time, this was something that the previous coaching staff and the previous front office recognized, that his exit velocity off the bat was really, really high. And he would just hit into an awful lot of outs, mostly on the ground. Even though he's fast, he didn't get cheesy infield hits the way some guys do because he was actually hitting the ball too hard, but he was hitting it right at people on the ground. The whole thing with launch angle is to put the ball in the air. You have a better chance of getting a base hit by just hitting it where there are three guys instead of where there are seven guys. So the launch angle thing happened with Key. He talked about it in Bradenton last year extensively. He said he really believes that there's something that's happened. Now, of course, you know, we couldn't see that with our own eyes because the virus ended up shutting down baseball until August. But he did go out there in the regular spring training in Bradenton, and he started hitting the ball where they ain't, meaning over their heads. And then he gets sick before the second spring training, stays at the Altoona Satellite Camp for a month, doesn't get a ton of action down there because they actually had a hard time keeping pitchers' arms limber enough to conduct full scrimmages with just the 30 guys that they had down there. It was a problem the entire time. He comes up to Pittsburgh basically ice cold and just murders the ball and just does everything. So whatever it was that was instilled in him, whatever it was that he absorbed as it related to launch angle and everything else, it found one whale of a foundation. It's really in there. To have lasted through that stoppage and then getting sick, and then who knows how frustrated he must have been staying down there for a month on top of everything else, just shows up with a smile on his face and goes berserk at the plate. Could that qualify as a breakthrough? I think so. I think so. Again, you can classify it as an outlier if you want, if it makes you feel better. 376 is absolutely an outlier. But does the kid have star potential? Yes. Yes. And that's why I was stressing earlier. I'm not here to knock anything about him. Just trying to add a little bit of perspective. He is obviously, very obviously, an immense talent. But expectations need to be fair all around in either direction. When we come back, just one question.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Welcome back. Time for Just One Question. This is brought to you on this program always by Mike's Beer Bar and the sister operation right next door, North Shore Tavern. Open for business, welcoming customers inside, also taking care of you if you can't make it down to Federal Street across from PNC Park. Choose from your favorites of the more than 500 beers that Mike has on tap, more than 50 of those from local breweries, by visiting mikesbeerbar.com/beer-menu or give them a call at 412-322-BEER To order and pay, person must be 21, ID required and present to receive delivery. I'm going to give you the web address one more time. It's mikesbeerbar.com/beer-menu. Question today comes from Jeffrey Schneider, who asks, given the Pirates' hitting approach the last 2 years, which was finding a ball in the zone and attacking these pitches, worked so well in 2019 for so many of the Pirates' hitters, is it wrong to think that the league adjusted to this approach in 2020 and just stopped pitching them in those zones? The drop-off of so many of the Pirates' hitters was so drastic, I can only think that this approach got known and pitchers just stopped putting the balls where the Pirates attacked. First off, that's a really good question. Dude not only knows his ball, he knows his buckos. The Pirates have fallen off the cliff I was referring to in the first segment, like Wile E. Coyote, like on their heads as an offense between 2019 and where they sit right now. I've never seen anything like it. I've seen bad Pirates teams. I've never seen one that went from year to year in one specific area with the same guys like that just drop off. Almost completely across the board. Really, who are your exceptions here? Who are the guys that were immune to it? Colin Moran, Jacob Stallings, who? Eric Gonzalez? Like, who cares? All of the main guys just fell off. And these are the same guys, Jeff, as you're pointing out, who were singing to me in 2019, Rick Eckstein, oh, this and that. For anybody who doesn't know what Jeff's describing here, picture the tall vertical rectangular strike zone that you see on TV, okay? Now carve out just one fairly small quadrant of that. Let's say about 6 inches square. What Eckstein taught the Pirates hitters to do was to just focus on pitches in that square. If the pitches weren't there, lay off. If the pitches were there, swing like your life depended on it. Swing like you hated the ball. Swing like you wanted to hit it to Stanwyck Street. And it worked. It made them more disciplined. It made them more aware of the overall strike zone. And they really, really hit the ball. And then they didn't. Same batters. Same hitting coach. Different manager, but same hitting coach. And they came back and they couldn't hit anything. They struck out all the time. Jeff, I'm tempted to take your theory and try to put it into play and say you might be onto something, but I've got a roadblock in doing so. And that's this. Every hitter has the red zone. Every hitter has the zone that the pitcher tries to avoid, regardless of what your approach is. Every team has the book on every hitter, not just on where they like to have the ball to hit it, but where they like to have specific types of pitches to hit them. If you're throwing a curve, don't put it in this area against this guy. There are hitters that sometimes their red zone for a certain pitch is actually either close to out of the strike zone or actually out of the strike zone. And you've seen that in particular with lefties who can golf a ball out of the yard. All of these guys have that. All of these guys are labeled that way. They're all studied that way. Every pitcher's prep involves, first and foremost, avoiding a guy's red zone. So I'm not about to give credit to the pitchers and or their various coaching staffs around both central divisions in 2020 for having come up with some eureka formula to shut down the Pirates offense. In addition to that, if you wait long enough, you will get pitches in those zones and you'll drive them. And in addition to that, especially with Josh Bell, Brian Reynolds, Kevin Newman, Adam Frazier. These guys were swinging right through fastballs, right down Grant Street. It was embarrassing. That wasn't, again, some eureka thing that somebody figured out on them. They just couldn't hit a baseball. How many times did you see that last season? So, unfortunately, I don't have an answer for you. I'm going to guess that Rick Eckstein wouldn't have an answer for you either, but he'd better come up with some. I don't have to. All I got to do is cover the team. Thanks so much for the question. One of the best we've had since this podcast launched. And thanks to everybody for listening. We'll do it again Monday.
Point Park University, in the heart of downtown Pittsburgh, they understand there's no substitute for real-world experience and career-building connections. Their innovative curriculum engages students with distinctive experiential learning opportunities. Point Park's pioneering co-op program empowers qualified students to work in full-time, paid positions with their corporate partners while earning college credits. Visit pointpark.edu/works to learn more. Career ready. That's The Point, Point Park University.
Your front door, your car, your gym locker, your gun. Safety is a habit. Learn more about how to keep guns safe and secure. Visit projectchildsafe.org.